going to preach. I'm just going to share a few things, that's all. The first chapter of Jeremiah. And the 12th verse. Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." Amen. Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." Certain versions use the word, "I will watch over my word to perform it." The Lord is saying, "I'm going to watch over my word to perform it." Now what happens to most people is that they go into a church where there's a lot of the word being preached, and they think, "Okay, I have to hear a new message. I have to hear a complete sermon. I have to hear something large and something deep, and that will make me solid in the Lord." But that's not what the word of God says here. It's a singular word. "I will watch over my word," not words. "I will watch over my word." Hear that? "I will watch over my," not words. Amen. Not a whole sermon. Not a great message. "I will watch over my word to perform it." Amen. That's why there's a difference between certain people. If you have received a word from God, make sure God is watching over that word. The Lord God Almighty, the El Shaddai, the one who is almighty, He Himself is watching over that word to make sure that word is confirmed and accomplished and done in your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now what happens to most people in the day? They just want to hear a message. Are you with me? That's why we already had a word today. But you still wouldn't feel satisfied until a man of God comes and preaches to you a whole sermon. But if you were very much tuned in your heart to receive a word from God, I mean, there's a word. Because that set me free. Because when Jerry shared on Joshua 1 and saying, "Do not fear, I am with you." Amen. Moses is dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Jordan is in front of them and it is overflowing. Amen. Jericho is there on the opposite side. You've been wandering about for 40 years. And if you've been wandering for a long time, I don't know whether you will have faith to cross over. You might think, "Listen, I thought I could cross over in 11 days and I didn't make it. I blew it up when I had a chance to get in the victory. Now I've been wondering about too much in the addiction or in the habit that I am in. And what does God mean by saying, 'Do not fear, for I am with you to make sure that I perform my word and bring you through'?" Come on, church. If you came looking for a word, receive the word from heaven itself. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. He Himself will watch over His word. That's why even in the darkest hour of your life, you should make sure the word that you had received from God, whether it be on your calling, whether it be on your ministry, whether it be in your married life, whether it be in your family life, whatever the vision and that word that God had spoken into you, make sure that you got it. Amen. He'll keep you. The word of God that was birthed into your system will keep you. Don't say at that time, "I need to hear a new message. I need to hear something fresh. I need to get myself under an anointing and hear something more." Mama, that all might be good. Are you with me? But real men of God are people who have taken the word that God has spoken over their life and said, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." Amen. The Lord spoke to me many years back when I was struggling with a thought, wondering whether I'm ever called. I had only my limitations in front of me. And even now when I look, I only have my limitations in front of me. Isn't it amazing? You only see your weakness and your problems and the struggles and the trouble that's around you. That's all you can see. That's all that I could see. And at that time, I would ask God, "God, have you called me? Have you called me? Have you called?" For many, many months, I would ask Him. And I still remember one day while I was coming in, the Lord put forth a song into my heart. I've called you and set you apart. And I've anointed you. Amen. To preach the good news. To tell the brokenhearted to be healed. To set the captives free. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. There are days and years and months in which I can see nothing but darkness around me. There are days and weeks and times when you can feel nothing. You can sense nothing. You cannot even feel the presence of God. And the strangest thing is when you go forth and somewhere and minister and people say, oh my God, what a presence. And you say, wow, praise God. I didn't feel a single thing. There are times like that. But what has kept me at those times has been the Word. Hallelujah. It's been the Word. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, Lord, thank you for the Word. If you have never received a Word from God, that's what you should seek. You should say, Lord, speak to my heart. Reveal your Word to me. Tell me what I am. If at one point of your time you knew you had not chosen Him, but He had chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that Word still continues over your life. He will still watch over that Word to bring it to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory unto the name of the Lord. Let's get into the book of Acts chapter 27. Here is a man in a ship. It is amazing. And I would love to preach a lot from the Acts, but I'm just getting to the point that I want to. The ship that he's been sailing on, he's sailing as a prisoner. He's sailing as a prisoner, but he does not realize he's going into his destiny. Because when God met with him on the road to Emmaus, Damascus, and the Lord had revealed himself, and later on a man by the name of Ananias came and laid hands upon him and said, you've been called, and I will show you how much you will have to suffer for my name, and how you will have to stand before Gentiles, and how you will have to stand before the Jews, and how you will have to stand before kings. The first two I would love. Gentiles, Jews, I don't mind. Amen? Would anybody say that? They would say, Lord, I want the king. Get me to the palace first. But God will make sure before you reach kings, you have ministered to the Gentiles and you have ministered to the Jews. People whom you can put up with and people whom you cannot put up with. That's ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, that's what Paul had. He knew his calling. But strange it seems, he had a word from God. And suddenly a prophet is coming and saying, you know, you shall be bound. The Holy Ghost tells me you shall go through many imprisonments and persecutions and all that. And they're putting him on a ship into a ship as a prisoner. But he is going to meet the king for which he was anointed to minister to in Rome. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He is on the ship and he knows inside the word that God has spoken. And he's saying, okay, I've finished my ministry to the Gentiles. I finished my ministry to the Jews. Now, where are the kings? God says, you are the king. This is what you have to do. You're going to be a prisoner. You're going to be on a ship. But I will make sure that I will watch over my word and perform it. Come on, church. And my Bible tells me, he was supposed to be taken into Rome. And he's sailing. But because there was a storm, for 14 days, in Acts 27, for 14 days, that none of the inmates on the ship could see the sun nor the moon. And they are in the ship, tossed to and fro by the storm, dark. Now, I do not know whether you're moving to your destiny, but if God has called you to go into Rome, and if you have a calling in your life, you might be saying, why have I gotten myself into a storm? Why do I feel like a prisoner? What's happening to me? Is still God in charge? Amen. See, in the book of Exodus chapter 14, the 14th chapter of Exodus, and the 15th verse. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and they were going into the promised land, they had mountains on both the sides, the Red Sea in front, and the Egyptians behind them. Amen. And Moses is so troubled. And the people are saying, listen, now, were there not graves in other places? You are a murderer. You brought us all the way out. And you're going to let us die here? I suppose every pastor goes through that. When the church seems to think they're not progressing anywhere, and you look at a congregation, you know they're going through struggles. The forces of Egypt, their past life or bondage is trying to take a hold over them. And they want to have their breakthroughs and go over the Red Sea into the promised land. And they can only see mountains on both the sides. And the first thing that happens normally is that people begin to murmur, grumble, and unbelief sets in. And you begin to be so angry and frustrated, and they take out all their frustrations on the leader. And so here Moses is having a hard time, and people are shouting at him saying, there better on better graves in Egypt. Amen. Well, what I want to highlight is one thing. See, at that point, Moses had already received a word from God. God had said to him, I will deliver my people through you and bring them through you out of Egypt with signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. Now, Moses at that time, see, you know the scripture, but just look to it. It's something amazing. Moses is, you know, got a word from God. But when the people's complaints are coming against him, out of the faith that he's got in God's word, he's saying to them, be still, the Lord will fight for you and all that, and nothing is happening. It is amazing, you know. I did not know this principle. I would preach on faith, and I would preach on, you know, the power of God and the miracle moving anointing of the Holy Spirit and all that. And really, when people are in a tight spot, on a hard place, they say, nothing is happening. What about the message? You said that all will fight, that all will take care. Look what's happened. And, you know, if you are a preacher, and if you are really a preacher for a long time, you'll know the hard time you have just to get a message, because you're wondering, oh my God, what kind of message do I preach? These people will stone me if they don't see that word applying in their life. Come on. If it is an all retreat, it is just easy. God's love, God's word, repentance, sin, world, Satan, Holy Spirit, inner healing, and constance. Boom. But now it's different. Now, Moses in a tight situation, and he's going by, if you look at the word very clearly, he's going by what God has spoken to him in the past. And he's speaking a faith-stirring message. The Lord will fight for you. He will handle your problem. Yeah. Nothing is happening. But do not get discouraged. Are you with me? Amen. Another word I want to highlight is this. See, the 15th verse. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go. You know that word cry in actually Hebrew, when you look at the meaning, that means, why are you shrieking to me? Well, God is saying, why are you yelling to me? I don't know whether you have done that ever in your life. When things haven't gone the way that you thought, it's not out of not loving the Lord. you love the Lord, you believe in Him, you trust in Him, because otherwise, you know, you're doomed. Amen? You know that. But when things are not going the way that you want, see, you begin to let all those holy frustrations out. I don't know how many of you have had prayer times like that. God, you said, what's happening? Ooh, how? You begin to yell, you begin to scream, you begin to shriek. And sometimes I just close the door of my room and I just shriek. Not out of anger, I love the Lord. But just a part of me just say, oh my God, what's happening? What do we do from here? Where do we go from here? You understand that? And the Lord is saying to Moses, Moses, don't do that. Tell the children to go forward. In other words, faith will always make you move forward. One John chapter 5 and verse 4. Who is it that overcomes the world? Is it not your faith? Amen? Amen? So, see, when things were contrary in the life of Paul in the ship, and when he was going towards destiny, and the very ship in which he was traveling was on the point of collapsing, something happened. Amen. I do not know whether, you know, you feel in your life whether you are drifting away from the destiny that God has got for you. Some of you are feeling tonight sometimes, or maybe you had thoughts in the last week when the temptations or the struggles were too much. Looks like it's finished. Looks like the plan of God for my life will never happen. Anybody here with that kind of thoughts? When you think you are drifting away from the destiny that God has kept for you, remember it's for a purpose, because there is a Malta where God wants you to minister. You didn't get me, did you? The ship was on the road to, or it was on the sea to Rome, and it's drifting away amidst the storm, but God had a purpose. Paul, before you reach Rome and fulfill your destiny, there might be contrary winds, there might be storms, there might be darkness where you don't even see the sun nor the light. But let me tell you, you're calling on your stays. There is a work that I want you to do amidst your drifting in a place called Malta. Amen. If you think you're drifting away, look boldly in that storm and say, I've got a work to do for my Jesus in a place called Malta. Malta was never in the agenda, but when the enemy began to put a storm, God said, that's going to be on my agenda. Paul, you've got to do a work there. Hallelujah. Some people say, I'm called full time. I don't know what I'm doing in this stupid job. Let me tell you what you're doing. God has got a plan for you. That's your Malta. God is saying, I got a plan for you there before I reach you to the full potential that I've got for you. That's a word for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amidst the storm, amidst the time you think you're drifting away. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can say boldly, hallelujah. Everything happens for the good for those who love Christ Jesus. I know He will bring about something good. If I crash land in an island called Malta, God will make sure that a fire is there, that wipers come out, that I'm healed and protected, and the chieftain of that village is saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not fear if you think you have missed the purpose of God and you are drifting. Tonight, hallelujah, the word of God still stands over your life. He will watch over His word to perform it. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, isn't that amazing? See, that night, look at the word in Acts 27. For 14 days. See, if you look at that chapter from verse 9 onwards, it's amazing. You could have a revival just reading through that. 20th verse, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 After a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred disaster and loss. The 22nd verse. Now I urge you to take, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Why? For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I... Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed. Isn't that amazing? God can get His angels across to you no matter whether you are on the sea or on the land or on the plain. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, God can get His angels across to you. When there is a word over your life, when it looks to the point of breaking down everything and all hope is lost, hallelujah, God might send an angel across your way. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He might send a word of encouragement through someone. Hallelujah. You might be just flipping on the TV and the TBN news. Hallelujah. Blessed be a word just falls upon you. A song just falls upon your heart. You know, oh my God, that's enough to keep me going again. An angel of God. Amen. Stood by me. Last night, he's giving the message next morning. Amen. Some of us, the minute we got the word, we would have gone and given it. Hallelujah. Paul is giving the message later. He got the word. Are you with me? When God has called you to preach, make sure that He just gets you the word. Keep the word. That's why it's beautiful to write notes. Prepare. And keep the word. Later on, you will need to deliver it. You believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be unto the Lord. Last night, the angel of God came and gave a whole message to Paul. My brother, my sister, you would have pushed the pastor aside that morning and said, let me preach. Hallelujah. But the next word is what I want to highlight. Saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. In other words, the destiny is still there in front of you. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God, it will be just as it was told me. When God has spoken a word, you should believe. Are you with me? Paul didn't say, how is the storm going to get over? What time will it be? No, he believed God. In the most contrary of situations, hold on to the word. God never sent His word when people were having a Bible study. If you look at from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, He sent a word across the lives of people when they were broken down, when they were miserably oppressed, when they were going through a trying time, when they had nothing to hold on to. God sent a word during those times. Sometimes we say, Lord, I want to study all the word. God says, I'll make you go through situations where I can get the word across to you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is true. I learned most about healing when I was sick. How would I prefer going to a Bible study and studying all the scriptures? But that's not the way God taught me. But I'm glad for that. It becomes a part of you. You know, the Lion of Judah begins to eat inside of you and make that word a part of you. I learned on encouraging others when I went through the massive amount of discouragement in my life. It is in the most contrary of situations that God declares His word. But what keeps you is the faith in the word. Are you with me? Faith in the word. Hold on. Paul said, it will be just as it was told to me. Can you imagine that? This is amazing. The word I want to highlight is this. Look at that 23rd verse. See, the prisoners who were traveling with him, there were about 266 people. We know that from the scriptures. In the 37th verse, it says that. Now, who were these 266 people? They were the property of Rome. Those men were the property of Rome. They carried the label of Rome on them. Either they were prisoners, some of them were prisoners, they were Roman prisoners. Are you with me? They were? But isn't that amazing? The Lord said to Paul, Paul, I have given them to you. You didn't get it, did you? They're Roman citizens, they carry a Roman label. But Paul, I've given them to you. This is the word that God told me. He told me people under different labels, Pentecostal, Catholics, Charismatics, Brethren, Jacobites, Mathomites, CSIs, different labels. But God said, I've given them to you. That's why this Sunday we are having another 20 more people getting baptized. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. They're God's people, but He's trusting them to you. Are you with me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what ministry is all about. Not grabbing somebody else's sheep, but to recognize who is the one that God gave you. Are you with me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to go and speak to people and get them right. No. If God, I know it. One thing which I tell every preacher: if God has given somebody into your ministry, nobody can take them away. If God has not given you, no matter what you do, they will go. They will find one reason or the other. Amen. They're looking for reasons. Are you with me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. See, that word amidst the storm kept Paul. Are you with me? What I'm saying is he will watch over his word. Tonight, I do not know where you have put your faith in, on whom you have put your faith in. But I know for sure, if you believe his word, it is amazing. Listen to this. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, my Bible says that Herod used to gladly hear John the Baptist and would protect John the Baptist for a long time. Gladly hear John the Baptist and protect him for a long time. Hear that? But you know why? See, Herod never knew the master of John the Baptist. That's why he got into the mess that he got into. The reason the preaching takes place, the word is given, is to make sure that word is the channel through which you look to Jesus. The preacher is just a postman handing over the letter of God. You don't take the letter that you've received and kiss the postman. It might be from your lover in Gulf. Come on. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Please. If the postman comes with a good message, you didn't take the letter and kiss the postman. He said, praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, when Paul declared the word, those people could put their faith in the Master. The Lord whom I serve, the angel, the one that I serve, came to me. Amen. Hear this. Hold on to the word no matter what you're going through. The word will see you through. The word will. Look at someone and say that the word will. See you. The word will. The word will. The word will. Amen. Open with me to Matthew 8. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped and saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand, touched him and said, I am, be cleansed. And immediately, and his leprosy was cleansed. Amen. This man had faith. This man had faith. In the book of Leviticus, the 13th chapter, when the Bible speaks about the laws for people with leprosy, some of the things that you understand in leprosy in the Bible is, one, it's more than skin deep. Leviticus 13 and verse 3 says it's more than skin deep. If you're going to study, you can go later, open the Bible and check it. It's just not on the outward. Are you with me? Leprosy in the Bible, in a word, denotes sin. Especially in the Bible, the very Bible is very clear on what kind of sin. It's the sin of rebellion. Because the minute Miriam rebelled against God's appointed authority, she became leprous. Every time in the scripture you find leprosy, and the sin that it denotes very clearly is rebellion, or rebellion against God. Now, leprosy, it's more than skin deep. That's the first thing. If you have a look at sin, see, it looks good on the outward, and you think you can put up with it, but suddenly it's eating you up. That's what the Bible says in Leviticus 13, when you read from verse 5 to 8. Leprosy, it not only eats you up, it spreads. And you can't contain leprosy. If you just have a finger, a point of your finger that is leprous, it doesn't look like it will stay there. If you put up with it, it will just spread. So with sin. Have you seen that? How many of you understand what I'm saying? So with sin, it just doesn't stay skin deep. It just moves, eats you up and moves on. Spreads. The third thing that leprosy does, it's that it isolates you. You can no more go for worship. You're supposed to stand outside the temple. You can't go in. Have you noticed that? When sin begins to spread into your life, you lose your enthusiasm for God. But tonight there's a word out for you to be cleansed. Come on, church. When sin begins to spread, you lose your enthusiasm for God. You lose your zeal for God. You just cannot go and worship. It isolates you, just makes you go into a corner. You try putting up with unforgiveness for a long time. You can never stand with cheerful people. You will find those guys are crazy. Why is this guy smiling all the time? Are you with me? It defiles you and separates you and isolates you and rejects you from society and makes you to think that you have no future. Lepers can't get married. Lepers can't have children. Lepers can't have a family. Lepers can't have a business. Lepers can't have a public life, they can't have a social life, they cannot actually enjoy society. Why are you just separated? Just put into a corner. They're separated from worship, from everything, and they have to be in the leper's colony. And if they're going to walk out, they have to keep on shouting, unclean, unclean. Imagine that. But tonight there's a word for you. If you are in that position, hallelujah, there is a word for you, I said. Amen. Hallelujah. You're supposed to warn everybody, I'm coming. But amidst this leper in Matthew 8, with his leprosy, while he sat in that leper's colony in that dark cave or in that dark room or wherever, suddenly he said, you won't get me. You won't spread anymore. You won't get me. I'm going to get this to Jesus and he's going to bring it through. Come on, church, come on. Faith will make you look at the problem and pronounce the word over that problem. Are you with me? This man, a full leper, he's got faith. Can you look at your situation, no matter how much it has spread in your life? Can you look at that problem and say, I'm going to get this to Jesus, for I know there is deliverance and healing for me in him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This person, he said, no. I'm going to get this to Jesus. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to get to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to get to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So he got out of that cave. He came. See, he's supposed to shout and tell everybody he's unclean. Are you with me? But my Bible doesn't say he did that. Because he knew if he said that, people wouldn't allow him to get to Jesus. I'm not saying that you should go and tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry your problem, but I'm telling you, you should tell Jesus your problem. Come on. Hallelujah. That's why confession is always between you and the Lord. If you confess your sins to me, I am faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, he had a problem, but because his faith was greater in the Lord than in the problem, he knew if he came to Jesus, he wouldn't have to go back facing the stones of the people. My brother, my sister, I do not know how many of you have the confidence tonight. Right now, sitting in the place where you are, no matter how leprosy has spread in your life, and how rebellious you have been, and stubborn you have been, and what all you have done, but tonight, if you can look at it and say, you won't have me, I'm going to get this to Jesus, I'm going to get this to Jesus, I'm going to get this to Jesus, I'm not going to allow the crowds of people to stop me from getting this to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. See, it is amazing when you really want to get to Jesus, how many people will stop you from getting to him. It is amazing. Have you really seen that? When you're really in a problem, and you know only Jesus can bring you out, and you try pray, immediately the phone bell will ring. People will want you to do a lot of things. A lot of things to be done. Responsibilities of life will come up. Are you with me? You will feel like sleeping. You will feel lethargic. Discouragement will set in. Why? 100 million people will ask you for help at that time. Even people who hate you will come to see you with a gift. You understand that? I don't know how many of you really know it. When you really got a problem, It is amazing when you're going to want to get to Jesus. You just can't seem to start the bike to go for the meeting. It had no problem yesterday. It just won't start. A labor problem comes up. A business client drops in. Well, there was a lot of barriers around for this man to get his. But he said, even if I have to crawl through the street, even if I have to drag myself, even if I have to push my way through, even if I have to be stoned, I am going to make sure that I get my problem to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's amazing. When he came, he did not immediately ask for a word. Some people will come only in time for the word. He didn't ask for the word. See, there was the multitudes around him. But what made the Lord stop? You know what? The worship. You didn't get me, would you? See, why? There might have been other people around with this, different other needs. But this man stopped the Lord by his worship. See, everybody speaks a great thing, you know. In the book of Joshua, the 10th chapter, it speaks that Joshua, by faith, he stopped the sun. Joshua 10th chapter says, they had to win a battle, and they had to win the battle before sundown, and sun was going down, and Joshua prayed, and said, Lord, stop the sun, and by faith, he stopped the sun. It stayed. It didn't go down. And the people of Israel won. Well, the 10th chapter of Joshua says that. But amazing, and more amazing than that, is to stop Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, by your worship. More amazing than that is to stop the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, with your worship. Not bother what people will say, no, not bothered by what people will think, but to bend your knee before Him or to bend your heart before Him and say, Lord, I worship You. I worship You. Hallelujah. See, if anybody had a problem, he had the problem. Are you with me? But he worshiped. He worshiped. He worshiped. Some people will worship if they have no problems. That worship will never have any importance in the eyes of God. Real, genuine believers are the ones amidst their problem they will worship God. Amidst the leprosy, they will kneel down and worship the Lord. Now, this is amazing. He worshiped the Lord. Look at that. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He had faith that he would be clean. And he knew the Lord had the power to do it. Amen. And the Lord answered that question once forever. I am willing. The Lord didn't say, your problem is too huge. I don't think I'll be able to handle it. Because in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, the same story is said about the leper. And the story, when you look at it, it's from verse 41 in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. But when you look at the preceding verses, it says, Jesus went and healed the mother-in-law of Peter of a fever. Now, we would have faith to say, okay, Lord, you can heal a fever. Come on. But then the Lord healed the leper. We had a time in, I think, when we ministered in Danielpoli, two lepers got healed. Two lepers got healed. Till then, we had never seen lepers getting healed. And they hadn't come for the meeting. They were standing outside. And while the healing service was going on, all the faith that I had was to pray for fevers and diarrhea and headaches and migraines. But I'm glad Jesus showed up. And he said, let me take care of the bigger ones. Hallelujah. Amen. And heal those lepers.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord said, I am willing. The Lord didn't say, I don't think I'll be able to go, but you came too late. Come meet me later. Are you with me? Come here. The Lord said, I am willing. What I'm saying is, He said, I am willing, and then He touched him. It is amazing. This person has been rejected for so many years. Nobody's ever touched him. Nobody's ever touched him. But let me tell you, you might be sitting in your situation wondering whether God can touch you again. Let me tell you, even if you are a leper, even if you have the horribleness of that sickness and that bondage inside of you, let me tell you, Jesus tonight is here just to touch you. He can touch you. Nobody's ever touched this man. He doesn't know what it feels to be touched. But the Lord touched him. So you feel the touch of God when you worship God. And then God gave the word. Be cleansed. Be made whole. Can you imagine that? That one word. Performed the miracle inside of a system. I'm not preaching a message tonight. All I'm saying is, do you have faith in the word of God? Even if you're in the most horrible of situations tonight, say, Lord, I receive you, I worship you, and I receive your word. See, you cannot be saved by your doctrine. Hear me well. You can never be saved by your doctrine. You can never be delivered by your doctrine. Nobody can tell you you are saved. Are you with me? But if you have received the word for yourself, you know. You know. What happens to most people is they're trying to live by doctrine. They're trying to live live on doctrines and on messages and systematic study. And they forget all they need is God saying that one word. If I preach you on salvation, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved. But if you know for sure tonight, hallelujah, the Spirit of God Himself witnessing with my spirit that I am born again, I am a child of God, a heir of God, and a co-heir with Christ. The word and the touch. You hear that? Hallelujah. Tonight, this is the word. It is amazing. See, Matthew 8 does not say this, but Mark 1, speaking about the leper's healing, says, the Lord was moved with compassion. It is amazing. You know why? Because in Matthew 14 and verse 14, it says, when the Lord saw the crowds, His heart was moved with. But when you look at that word, the 15th verse says, the disciples were not moved with compassion. അവർക്ക് വന്നത് സഹതാപോ. നിന്റെ അടുത്തിരിക്കുന്നതാണ് തോന്നുന്നത് എന്നോട് സഹതാപോ. നീ ഒരു പ്രശ്നത്തിൽ കൂടെ പോകുമ്പോൾ ഓ നല്ല സന്നിധാനം ഇങ്ങനെയൊക്കെ പറ്റിയ അല്ലേ നല്ല സങ്കടമുണ്ട് കേട്ടോ. പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കാവേ വട എന്റെ യേശുവിക്ക് അതല്ല സഹതാപോ അല്ല വന്നത്. His heart was moved with compassion. Are you with me? His heart was moved with compassion. You might think his heart would move with compassion only for a crowd. But that day the leper realized the Lord is not only interested in the crowd, He is interested in the individual. Do you know that He is interested in you? You might be the leper, but let me tell you, the heart of God is compassion moves for you. Just for you. Just for you. Some people want to preach when there's a crowd. Oh, ഒത്തിരി ആളൊക്കെ ഉണ്ടെങ്കിൽ പ്രീച്ച് ചെയ്ത് സുഖമുണ്ട്. ഒറ്റൊരുവിനെ ഉള്ളെങ്കിലും. Are you with me? Your heart should move with compassion. Hallelujah. Right from the beginning of my ministry, I've asked the Lord one thing. Lord, even if there be no one, and if you call me to minister,
let me minister with the best way I know how. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is this. His heart is compassionate. This is the word he gave. Be thou cleansed. Would you like to be free through the blood of the Lamb and walk out of this place saying, Lord, I thank you.
Hallelujah.
That your word has set me free. What this man received that day was just not a healing, but a future. He's not a leper anymore. He can marry. You can marry this man. He can marry. He could have a relationship. He could go to his family. He could see his long or aged mother. He could spend time with people. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tonight there is a future for you. Amen. Hallelujah. God declares this over your life. If you believe that tonight, stand in the presence of the Lord and we're going to worship him. Paul, thinking you have gone.